If we'll turn to Ephesians 3, because right now, for me, the world revolves around Ephesians 3. And so you get to hear Ephesians 3 again and again. We'll go back up to verse 16 in Ephesians 3. It says, that he would grant you, Houston Revival Center, early service, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. And here's the upshot. That you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Notice how it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. See, what we've talked about here, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, when we talked about learning to understand this love that surpasses knowledge. Learning to understand a love that makes you unmanageable to the enemy. Because when you become unmanageable to the enemy, that means there's no more handles. When you understand the depth of his love for you, when you understand the magnificence of his love for you, then suddenly all those things that used to control us no longer have a handle on us. We're no longer controlled by the pain because we have someone who brings and bears the pain for us. We're no longer controlled by the grief because we have someone who bears the grief for us. We're no longer controlled by the sorrow and the disappointment because there's someone who has come to bear your disappointments for you. There's someone who's come to bring an appointed time into your life. Because as he brings an appointed time into your life, the disappointments go away. Because as we rejoice in the appointed moment, as we rejoice in the appointed hour, then there is a hope that is established in our life. And that establishment of hope will begin its own series of deliverances for you. When there's no more handles in our life, there's no more fear. Because see, fear is resolved in love. Because fear is the result of an insufficient understanding of love. When we understand the magnificence and the depth of his love towards us, we have nothing left to fear. The very deceptions and the lies that the enemy has used against us no longer work because we understand his truth for our life. The very depth of our being becomes involved in this love to such a degree that fear no longer has a place. The intimidation no longer has a place. The anxiety no longer has a place. Those are what we mean when we're talking about taking away the veils. Because see, disappointment can be a veil. Fear can be a veil. When we understand his love and we understand his sufficiency with that love, then we also no longer have need of greed. Because when we have this place of knowing that no matter what it is, when we belly up to the buffet table and we get all that we want, we don't envy somebody else who doesn't have something. We don't envy whatever someone else may need and may take because we've already got more than enough. When you understand the depth of his love, you've got more than enough. It's just like when you leave the buffet table, when you have that amount of love in you, you've got more than enough. You don't care what someone else might have. When we understand the love of God, and it's what's being exhibited in this passage, when we understand the love of God, we truly become handleless. We become unmanageable to the enemy. He no longer has a way to grab a hold of our feelings because our feelings are bound in love. Our feelings are resolved in that love. But it says here in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. See, the thing that I'm focusing on this morning is that our hearts need to be set on Him. When our hearts are set on Him, then all kinds of things can begin to happen. There's really only two things that God is requiring of you. One is that your heart be set on Him. And two, that you be who He created you to be. Because if your heart is set on Him, it's going to put everything else in order. So the next thing is for you to be who He called you to be. Because see, if you're going to be who He called you to be, then you will automatically have fulfilled His will. You have already found and operated in His will in that fulfillment. Being who He called you to be. Because see, there are certain people He's already appointed for Steve to reach. There are certain people He's already appointed for Tina to minister to. There are certain people that are already established that God has already put in your path, and it's up to us to walk it out. See, Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are His craftsmanship. We are the Lord's craftsmanship created in Christ Jesus, and that we're for good, benevolent, profitable works, and that we're to walk out, that there are things that are already established for us to walk in His path that He's already defined for us. It's a matter of allowing Him to minister in us and then through us. Because our heart is set on Him. See, when our heart is set on Him, then we can now begin to understand and walk in our purpose. It's in our purpose because, see, we'll find our purpose as our heart is set in Him. Jesus found His purpose as He answered the call of the Father. The apostles found their purpose as they answered the call of their Savior. We find our purpose as we answer the call of our Savior. And see, that purpose is number one, it's an anchor for our soul. But it's also an anchor for our faith. It's not just a matter about what we can come along and do, it's what we can come along and believe that's in alignment with Him. It's very easy for many of us to become doers without having first become believers. And if you're a doer without having come first become a believer, then you may be out doing something and it's going to the left or to the east, and God was actually calling you to do something that was to the right or to the west. So we activate faith by becoming believers, by being that which He called us to be. When our heart is set on Him, then we can truly begin to overcome. You see, the world has trained us with so many wrong thoughts and wrong images. The world has trained us by failure and disappointment. Those things, failure and disappointment, create fear. Failure and disappointment create rejection. Failure and disappointment create the things that cause us to not move with the Lord. That's the training of the world. See, the world wants you to believe, and the enemy wants you to believe that that's all that there is. But God is here to say it's not so. God is here to say that it's not that way. He's here to give you something that's called a lively hope, an earnest expectation, a desire that comes to a fruitful end. That's His purpose with us. He comes to set in a new image. To set in a new image, because see, in the new image, in the understanding of this new man that's been placed within us, there is the ability to triumph over everything that the enemy would have done. in the new image is the ability to step into His plan and His purpose. It's the ability to come into the place of transformation. Romans 12 and 2 speaks and tells us that we need to be renewed in the things of God. We have our mind renewed and transformed. Why don't you just turn there just for a moment? I want you to see it in your Bible. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. See, He wants to renew your mind to what is good and righteous and holy. He wants to renew your mind, and He does that by giving you a new image to look at. He begins that by changing the image that you've always looked at and beginning to place into you the image of where you're going. No longer does the past control us, but now the future can begin to motivate us when a new image is placed in our thoughts. Sometimes that image, that new image is a whole mind shift of what you always thought you wanted. I was telling someone this week that I'd always, you know, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a race car driver and that Richard Petty was my hero. To which they replied some things and I now understand. But see, God had to renew that image. Because see, Richard Petty wasn't going where I'm going. Now, no matter what he managed to achieve and what he managed to do, God had a different place for me. It wasn't good enough for me to do what Richard Petty did. He needed for me to do what He's called me to be. He called me to do. And so, here I am. Because doing something that at that point in time of my life, the image that I had not ever been conceived of in my thought. But God knew who He called me to be. And it didn't come all in one day, but He will come and confirm to you over and over and over and over and multiple times who He's really called you to be if you'll just allow yourself to line up with His love. If you allow yourself to line up with His will. Hallelujah. We'll find our purpose in the lining up with His will. It says here that the heart set on me will always find order. It says distractions will melt away as you maintain focus on me. Now, if you're a doer, this is key. If you're a doer, this is key because as you maintain focus on Him, as your heart is set on Him, then the other distractions will begin to melt away. The outpouring called revival can start in one heart that is convinced in me. See, why did he say it that way? Because many people have many different ideas what revival is. I believe that God's idea of what revival is simpler maybe. Because what we normally see when we say revival, we either think of some little two-week ministry thing with a tent out front, or we think of some huge outpouring where, you know, the presence of the Lord is there. I'll give you a couple definitions that I did happen to look up. It says, God's quickening visitation of His people, touching the hearts and deepening His work of grace in their lives. That was J.I. Packer. Robert Owen says this, Richard Owen Roberts, rather, an extraordinary movement of the Holy Spirit producing extraordinary results. I like that. This one's the one I like the best. Robert Coleman said, the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. To their true nature and purpose. There are so many different ideas of what revival is. But that's what it is, the awakening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. When we'll stand in that definition, when we come into agreement with that definition, then we can see revival can happen just in my heart, even if it doesn't happen anywhere else. But revival is generally considered to be something that happens within a community Well, guess what? Early service, you're a community. You're a community. Revival can happen right here. Right here. Right here. One purpose. But know that revival doesn't have to be that, because a renewing or a quickening can happen to you at any place and any time. Because, see, you can be doing really well and still be quickened and get more. Because, see, when you're quickened and you get more, then He gives you a little bit more to give out. God is looking for those who aren't satisfied with what they've managed to obtain, but who are looking to find even more within Him. Enrique mentioned Mercy Seat last Sunday. And I don't know if you guys remember that song, but it was a young lady who, 14 years old, and she sang the song, and it became the sound of the Brownsville Revival. There's an anointing on it that you just listen to her sing it, and you can't deny God was doing something through that vessel in that moment. But I went back and I looked at, and I watched the sermon that brought the Brownsville Revival. They call it the Father's Day Outpouring. Steve Hill delivered that particular message. And as he delivered that message, I listened to it. And the thing that I found significant was it wasn't a great revelation. It wasn't the impact of the scriptures that he used. Matter of fact, I think he only used one scripture. And then he just talked, but he told them something along the lines of this: God has something new for you. Multiple times in many different ways, he told them basically the same thing. God has something new for you. That he wants to meet you in a brand new way. He wants to encounter you in a brand new way. Over and over throughout what he said, that's basically was the text that he was giving, is that God wants to encounter you in a new way. But the interesting thing was that when he first gave the altar call, there was probably 800 people there in that sanctuary, and only a handful of people initially responded. This is the day that unleashed the Brownsville Revival. Out of 800 people, he had maybe 10 at the altar at first. But you know, he didn't stop there. Because see, there was something in Steve that was already convinced that God was going to do it. There was something in Steve that was already convinced that God had something new for these people, and all they needed to do was respond. And he never let up. He never stopped. He just kept on going. He kept on entreating them, and he kept on giving them an opportunity and an invitation. And in that opportunity and invitation, the thing, the outpouring that was there for them became released. The rest is history, because for 5 years, one of the greatest things that we've seen in recent history, church history, was accomplished. But one man was convinced. One man had a heart that was on fire for God. One man was convinced that God could do something in him and through him for a group of people who were congregated together to receive and had an interest to receive what God was doing. And he stood in faith for that. He began to plant a new image in their heart that God could actually do something for them that would change them. That he could actually do something to bring resolution in broken marriages. That he could actually do something that would bring healing for the drug addict. That he could do something that would bring restoration for the broken bodies. That he could do something that would begin to change the operation of their lives and the thought that was guiding them. God has that same thing for us. God has that same thing for us. You know, many times we become tired because we're carrying the wrong burden. The only burden we're supposed to be carrying is a burden for the Lord. And His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But if we're carrying the burden of the world, if we're carrying the burden of our shame, if we're carrying the burden of our past, if we're carrying the burden of the enemy's condemnation, then we're carrying the wrong burden. Because those things were supposed to be given over to the Lord. And see, when we allow God to take that burden, suddenly the tiredness is no longer there. See, God is here to do something in your life. He's here to do something that changes you. He's here to do something that brings you into a place of increase. Abundantly above all we can ask or think is what it told us in Ephesians 3 and 20. Remember, there was a God. He's a God who is abundantly above all we can ask or think. He's a God who is here to quicken us with His life. To quicken us. He's a God who wants to create within you a new image and a new thought, a new pattern. You know, Psalms 139 tells us that He knows our thoughts from afar. And that's either oh yay or oh me. It just depends on what your thoughts are. But He knows our thoughts from afar. It says that He knows our inward parts. He's not looking to see what you had for breakfast. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows the thoughts and intentions of your heart, and thoughts and intentions of our heart are everything to Him. It's the place where He draws near to us, is in the heart. It's the place where we can have relationship with Him, and that's ultimately His destiny for us, is to have relationship. He went on telling me, he says, do not be afraid to hope, for hope combined with faith can unleash unlimited potential. Your frame of reference will be expanded rapidly as you allow me to move on your behalf. Today you do not yet see what I desire to accomplish through you. So position your heart to fulfill the hope of my calling. For this puts you directly in the path of my will. In Ephesians 1 and 17, where he calls us to know the hope of his calling, I never saw it quite like that. That when we know the hope of his calling, it is a positioning. It's moving us into position. It's moving us into the framework of the will of God. When we know the hope of His calling, now we know who we really are and what we're being brought to. But know that it's His hope that's being unleashed. It's not just our desire, but His hope, His desire being unleashed on our behalf. Alignment in my will reveal who you really are, who I have created you to be. Your purpose and fulfillment are found in my will. My confidence in you becomes your confidence in me. See, sometimes we think that we created this thought, that we're all that, but God had it before we did. And He's the one who gave it to you. When He asks you to tell you about something, or what do you think about this, He already knows. He wants you to know. See, He has every confidence in you because He sent His Son to die for you, and yet He knew who would and who wouldn't accept that. He has confidence in you. He knew you before you were formed, and He has confidence in you. Step forth knowing I will supply the vision and the way in your journey to fulfill my hope. This hope will not disappoint, but will broadcast my love, bringing forth revival in the hearts of many. God is looking to set and ordain an order. He's looking to set and ordain something in you to bring forth His plan and purpose, to bring forth His will, to bring forth that fellowship, that continuous place of dialogue one to another with you. And see, in that there is an empowerment for who He's called you to be. He's empowering you to step forth and to come free. He's empowering you to let go of the past and begin to grab hold of what He's positioned you for. God wants to meet you a new way. I read where Samuel anointed David. And as I read that passage, tears just began to flow down my eyes and flow out of my heart. And I didn't understand, and I was asking the Lord, what is it? Why is this affecting me this way? I've read this passage a bunch of times, and it's never affected me this way. What is it about Samuel anointing David? And he began to show me, because when he anointed David, he was anointing Christ. Because see, from that point forward in the Psalms and in other places, the Lord uses David as a picture, a prophetic statement of who Christ would be. And so in that moment, he was anointing David and he was anointing Christ. But guess what else? In that moment, he was anointing you. Because Christ is in you. And now when you receive Christ in you, then that means that his anointing of David was an anointing for you. And 1 John 2:20 tells us that you have an anointing. God's creating a new image for you. That an image starts with understanding that he's got an anointing for you, that he's releasing an anointing in your life. He's releasing an anointing. He's releasing an anointing for revival. He's releasing an anointing for renewal. He's releasing an anointing to know him in a brand new way, to encounter him in a brand new way. I just want to give you an opportunity today. I know all of us here are Christians. But God has something new for you. He has something new for you. He wants to encounter you in a brand new way. He wants to encounter you in a way that is so effective, that so changes, it changes who you see yourself to be. God wants to encounter you this morning. But I want to invite you to come up this morning because I want you to receive something from the Lord. I'll pray, I'll release, but I want more than anything to obtain it from Him as well. To know that He wants to touch you. To know that He wants to bring you into a place of awakening. He wants to awaken and quicken your heart. The God who does abundantly above all we can ask or think wants to transform something in you today. He's giving you an opportunity this morning. He's giving you an opportunity to respond to His heart, to respond to His love, to respond as He pours forth a new vision in your life. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Awaken our hearts, Lord. Awaken our hearts, Lord. Awaken our hearts, Lord. Awaken her heart, Lord. Awaken her heart, Father. Refresh her body. Renew her strength, Father. Renew her strength this morning. Lord, we thank you, Father, for encountering her in a brand new way. Encountering her in a brand new way, Father. A new power, a new strength, Father, within her body. A new power and strength within her heart, within her mind. Lord, we give you all praise. Thank you, Jesus. Teach us how, Lord, to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Empower her. Teach us how, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Be released in this place. Be released today, now. Come and meet her in a brand new way. Release, Father, yourself within her in a brand new way. Release, Father, every pain and every hurt. Release her, Father, to a new understanding and a new vision, Father. Release her into a new place and a new strength, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for the release of your heart, Lord. the release of your love, Father God, in a brand new way. Impact her today, Father. Impact her today, Father. Impact her heart, Father. Impact her today in a brand new way, Lord. Follow through, Lord, with your promises, Father. Bring forth the promises, Father. Bring forth the promises today. Quicken her heart, Father, in the promises today, Father. Lord, we just release it now. Father, just release your Holy Spirit now. Release your Holy Spirit. Quicken and awaken today, Father, in a brand new way. Father, I thank you, Lord, that every area of her heart, Father, is saturated in your love. I thank you today there's a quickening and an awakening of your love, Father. Father, and a quickening of your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Magnify yourself, Father. Magnify yourself in her thought, Father. I thank you, Lord, for being increased, Lord, to the size of her God. Bring increase, Father. I thank you, Father, that she serves an unlimited God. And Lord, we just release it, Father, over her today. An unlimited God and an unlimited potential. Release it in her heart. Release it in her heart. Erase all the doubt, Father, and release it in her heart. Thank you, Father. Be magnified this day. Be magnified. Be glorified. Hallelujah.